words about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Street Neil.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, by the hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? We should be breaking down United, just thumping those Scouse bastards at Old Trafford. But instead, it's been a crazy week, couple weeks of football. The match was postponed. Manchester United fans let their voices be heard. The Glazers have to get out. They broke into the stadium. I don't know how I feel about that, sir, but certainly the point has been made. Football is for the fans. Football is owned by the fans. How we feeling? How we feeling? Do you think the Glazers heard what the hell's going on these days at Old Trafford?
Sir, you know, I woke up this morning. My son woke me up at like 7:15, which is like a big sleep in for me personally. Usually it's like a 5:45 wake up. Shout out to all the dads out there. And my phone was like, I just saw it blowing up. Like Old Trafford, just like fan, the protest looked great. And then all of a sudden I saw the breaking news, fans like breach the stadium, ran onto the pitch. Didn't think too much of it, really. I was kind of like, all right, similar to the training ground, you know, they come in, do their protests, leave. It didn't look like it was particularly violent. I believe Micah Richards, Gary Neville, and Carragher all on Sky said it was peaceful. And then they left, and I expect the game to be played. So I was like, okay, you know, waiting for the game. Boom, it's postponed. Apparently, the statement, and we could read it, but it was COVID related, breaking the bubble, like somebody was near the tunnel or the dressing room, etc. Regardless, I kind of feel like them postponing it is kind of like more like them trying to be a little dramatic, set a precedent, say this is not acceptable. You know, security is paramount for the league, etc. I get that. But again, just play the game. Just play the game. Play a little later. Play at 8 p.m. Play at 9 p.m. Just play the game. There's so many fixtures. Fact is getting moved might be a disadvantage to United. I'm kind of just disappointed the game didn't get played. And then nothing about the protest made me think that it couldn't be played, sir. Maybe stuff will come out. We'll see.
Stuff will certainly come out. Like you said, this is a breaking story. I was watching Sky covering it all. My wife, I was like, go walk the dog and the kid. I got to watch Sky and see what the hell's happening. Figure that the game would go on, like you said. Obviously, fans getting inside, quite a number of fans being able to break in. That is seen as a security risk. There have been security risks at Old Trafford in the past. You remember the pipe bomb scare that was actually a security like test that went awry. There have been incidents, but either way, the voices of the fans have been heard today. The postponement of the match is probably, like you said, they're probably trying to prove a point that this kind of thing is not acceptable. But either way,
just being a precaution, you know, it's like I get it. Maybe something will come out, but I just didn't. It seemed to me they got under control and everyone left, and then they could just play later. But maybe something else would come out. Who knows? We're reacting. It's live. It's 10:45. A.M. Pacific time. So, you know, if new stuff comes out, we'll see. I'm just bummed we didn't get to see Manchester United versus Liverpool, you know. But like you said, the message by the fans is paramount. The protest was amazing. I'm like, we're number one Glazers out here at the American Red Devils. Like, I really think the message is clear. You know, we've been saying it for 3 years. All of a sudden, since the Super League, this has just turned into something massive. I think this is kind of like people... It's been simmering under the surface. You know, I think everyone knows that the ownership is bad, and now everyone agrees, everyone's together and united, and you love to see that from fans. Breaking in the stadium, if I was there, I probably wouldn't do it, sir. Maybe it depends on how many dark ales I had, but I think I'm old enough now as a father to know you don't drink that many dark ales where then you throw a TV camera and don't remember it without wearing a mask, at least, like that gentleman did.
Yeah, there's lines, right? Like being outside, right, lighting some flares, breaking in is probably a line I wouldn't have crossed. But, you know, I don't think that, like, there was that much malice in it. They didn't seem to be beating anybody up or breaking anything. I'm sure there'll be fallout. You know, there are some bad characters. There always are. There's always idiots in anything, even, you know, especially sport. So, either way, I think the message is clear that like fans are united, Manchester United fans especially united. I think that that discontent has been simmering for a long time. People said, oh, you know, they weren't protesting when we were winning titles. Yes, we were. Yes, we were. Look at 2010. We were winning titles. The club wasn't being invested in. The greatest manager in the history of the sport was not being backed. And it's the same greedy owners then, now, and in between. It's just that, you know what? A spark has been lit, and that was the Super League. They overreached. They overplayed their hands. And all the fans collectively have woken up. And I think this is kind of, you know, hopefully the beginning of the end for the Glazers. They should know well and clearly that they are no longer welcome here. The sooner they sell, the better. And this is a big statement. You know, it's all over the news beyond even the UK. It's being picked up in the American press as well, that this is kind of a big event. You cancel a game because the fans basically disrupted it. That is saying something. And this is a huge match, right? I was so excited to watch United take on the Scouse Bastards. The boys are in form. You know, Liverpool are on the ropes, sir. It'd be a great time to kind of knock them out, give them that knockout blow. But you know what? It's going to have to wait. And like you said, it's not going to be a good thing for United because we already have a tight schedule. They're already doing midweek matches, even with the second leg of Roma. The inevitable Europa League final will be midweek. I think there's another Premier League game that's now pushed midweek. I think we're playing Leicester in midweek in a couple weeks as well. So I don't know when they're going to play this game, but it's going to be a disadvantage for United because it's going to be more fixtures packed in to an already tight schedule.
Yeah, and another point is, fans haven't been back to Old Trafford for, you know, more than a year, sir. It was in March when McTominay scored against City. That was the last time fans have been in. I have to think this is kind of like bubbling up in the UK. I mean, like, clearly cases are down, but I think the idea that you can't put some amount of fans in Old Trafford with 70,000 seats when it's outdoors is kind of crazy. And I think that if you did that, then the fans could kind of sing the songs and do the protest in the stadium. And like, this has kind of been ramped up because everyone has been so pent up. They haven't been able to go to a match. I think, you know, you could tell, sir. I mean, come on. How many people outside Old Trafford were just like, you know, waiting for Bishop's Blaze to be back open? That was pretty much Bishop's Blaze in front of Old Trafford, just drinking tons of dark ales. Like, they've been depriving the fans of this for so long. No matter where you stand on, you know, the COVID lockdown in the UK, it's just like people have been dying to get into the stadium, dying to watch football. And I really want, and that's where I want the protest to go. So wherever you stand on the fans breaking into Old Trafford, you know, probably a little much for me. But, you know, the message was sent. It happened. It looked like it was peaceful. I saw one photo where a security guard was cut. I mean, that's disgraceful. Clearly, you condemn any sort of violence in this. And hopefully it was just a few bad actors, if you will. But, you know, we really, when the fans come back, it's uniting the fan base, Stretford End, green and gold, and the chants, or the Glazers out chants. You know, everything in between. The pressure just needs to be constant and continue, because we saw this before when they bought the club, sold Ronaldo and weren't investing, and then it faded. And that's what I'm worried about.
No, I mean, I think it's a combination of factors, right? It's like fans not being in the stadium for over a year, COVID, everyone being kind of restricted to their homes. There's a lot of frustrations pending up. Combine that with the fact that they like tried to steal the team. Steal the sport, destroy everything that's kind of great about it in terms of it is the purest form of capitalism in sport, right? If you're good enough, you stay up, you get paid more. If you ain't, you fall out, you play in League One, and you make a lot less money, and that's just the way it is, and that's part of it. That's what's fun about it, and they wanted to change that. So I think those combination of things, the times where we're at, just it's exploded, and people are like, I don't think this is backing down, because they're not going to start making material investments in this team. It's going to kind of satiate the fans in a material way. So I think this is not going away. They know that they are not welcome at this club. And I think all the fans are united in it. You know, breaking in the stadium is one thing, but protesting every game, you know, not buying the kit, not signing up for MUTV, whatever it means, it's an important and impactful and strong voice that's being heard throughout football. This is a global story now. Like, it was a Super League. They literally, United fans got a game called, one of the biggest games of the year. For better or for worse, it speaks and it gets the message out, right? They're talking about it on Sky, on Bloomberg, all across, all kind of news outlets talking about, like, they are protesting the owners. It's not even the Super League now. It is the owners.
Yeah, but you make a great point. And it's one thing to, you know, make them feel shameful or make them feel rejected by the fan base, which I think is clear and they know. But they don't care about that. What they care about is what money, sir. They care about the cheddar. Now, I haven't bought anything from the Manchester United online store in probably 3 years. You know, I stopped buying the jerseys when Adidas came in and Chevrolet. It just wasn't my thing. And then, you know, I really stopped buying the online store just because I didn't want to support the Glazers, sir. If I bought a jersey, it'd be on eBay, like a classic kit, something like that. But I just didn't want to give them money. I think fans really need to unite around whether it's boycotting sponsors so the sponsors put pressure on the club, or whether it's boycotting the store. But to say Glazers out and to be wearing this year's kit, you know, Bruno 18 on the back, you know, that's one of those things where that's enabling them. And those types of things are probably going to be more impactful if the protest can be sustained in some way. Look, I want to spend a lot of money at Manchester United. I have in the past. When we won the Champions League, sir, probably a $500 order back in the day. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy the amount of money I'll give this club. But over time, the merch has gotten worse. It's gotten more cheap stuff from China. It's not even good. Like, and so it's just everything that's wrong with this club. Just like the security today. Think about it. Ed Woodward's running the show. You know there's a protest. And they're not able to secure the stadium. Like, what a – like, that in and of itself shows you how poorly run this club is. Like, you think fans protesting out of Chelsea could get into the stadium? You think fans protesting out of the Scouse Bastards could get into the stadium? No. Old Trafford's like, yep. It's like, how could they not work with local police to like make sure that there was enough security where this didn't happen? So that's also another narrative no one's talking about, is like, this is on Manchester United for letting this occur. It's like, they should have the proper security. They should be coordinating with local police. They should be monitoring social media. And Ed Woodward is the chairman. He's running the club, and it's on him, dude. So this is a failure of the club's security, and nobody's talking about that. And what they're going to try to do is just spin it on the fans being terrible hooligans when they should be looking at this club, be like, how could you not prevent this situation? This is like basic protest 101. Like, you saw the little barriers they had. It's like nothing, dude. They had like, sir, the stewards. I mean, come on, man. It's like they ain't getting paid enough to deal with that shit.
No, and you're absolutely right. It's like, you should know this is coming. There were protests last week. You follow social media, you know there's going to be a big event around the Scouser match today. Dude, the Manchester United police are ready to rock. They've dealt with hooligans forever, yes, bro. They are like, they came in, they cleaned it up. They were all the fans were out. They were like out in front of the stadium within 20 minutes as soon as the cops showed up, as soon as the heavies were called in. The fact that they were not kind of given a heads up to be around, be available in case kind of things popped off like they ended up inevitably doing, it does speak to the lack of disorganization. So they got a leaky roof, they got a leaky entrance. I mean, it's like a parallel. Our roof is leaking. Old Trafford is crumbling from the inside. That stadium is rotting. It is like, it is not the best stadium in Europe anymore. Gary Neville was talking about when they bought this club, it was the best stadium in Europe. They had the best training ground in England. Now we don't even have the top five training grounds in England. We don't have one of the best stadiums, nowhere near it. So it's just the lack of investment is apparent. The lack of organization is apparent. And the lack of just like having your shit together is apparent. So, sir, it's going to be a long road, though. You know, it's going to be a long road. It takes a long time to sell a football club at the price that they want. So where do we go from here is the question.
And that's why we got to keep the pressure on. And they want to sell. Well, we always talk about it. It's like their father bought it. This is their sort of nest egg, $500 million. Each of them get it. You can read the breakdown at AmericanDevils.com. I broke down the equity structure. It's just they're getting up there, sir, you know, in age. They want this check. They want out. They don't care about United. They're focused on Tampa Bay. I think a sale will happen, but the fans got to keep the pressure on. I think commercially is the number one place to do so. Sir, let's jump into a quick PSA for the podcast. American Devils for fans by fans. Hashtag Glazers out. We speak truth to our terrible ownership. We believe that is what fans should be doing. And we have no commercial backing. So you can't boycott our sponsors. No Maui Gym, sir. There's no nothing. I can pick all – look at all the sponsors and all the banners around Old Trafford. It's absolutely a riot. For fans by fans means to us we are supported directly by you, the fans. That we think the best way to do that is Patreon. Visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, everything in between. You can sign up from $1 a month to $20 a month. Our goal is to get 100 Patreon subscribers. We have about 44. Check us out if you want to support the podcast, help keep the lights on in the bunker. Another great way to do so is pick up some merch in our online store, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. Glazers out, merchandise on sale, $9.99. We have the Avram Glazer clown nose t-shirt. We have the Glazers scarves are sold out, but we just ordered more, sir. So those will hopefully be in a few weeks. But we still have our 2020-2021 scarf with all the trophies for Manchester United on the back. It's absolutely amazing, and that's on sale as well. So check out our store. Support fan-generated content, sir. That is what we're about. And also check out our blog when you're on our website. We have some great fan takes on this terrible ownership. What do you say?
We do. We've got plenty of Glazer Out content, Woodward Out content. It's a great place to see fan-generated content. So check out AmericanRedDevils.com. If you're interested in contributing for the blog, we are always open to new talent, new blood. So send us an email at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We'll see if we can find a fit for you. Another great way to support the podcast is to write an iTunes review. It's an absolutely free way to support the podcast, and it goes a long way. Here's what you have to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's cheeky, even better. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will send you some free Stanley Chow design stickers, absolutely free. Great way to support the pod. Help us get found organically, sir. Oh, we should be breaking down that sir. Manchester United just crush of Liverpool. I was thinking 4-0, but instead.
Well, real quick, I just want to say thanks to everyone who does support us on Patreon, and thanks to everyone who picked up a green and gold scarf. Alex has been shipping them around the country. We have like over 100 out there. We've been getting all the photos. If you have one, send us a photo. We'll tweet it out. We love to see the green and gold, especially United States. You know, that's something that, you know, doesn't have as strong of a presence. But yeah, thanks to everyone who supported the podcast, picked up a scarf. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Like you said, we should be breaking it down. Manchester United versus the Scouse Bastards at Old Trafford. But sir, they broke in. They broke COVID protocols. Got a little crazy. Got a little wild and crazy. A lot of dark ales being consumed. I have to think a lot of that is because of the pent up desire to drink some dark ales and chant in the stadium. And then when you have too many dark ales, you know, things can go sideways. It happens. We've seen it. We've seen it at football grounds, all around. But at the end of the day, you know, this game is postponed, and that's a big statement. We can't change it as fans, and as Glazers out all day. I just want to make sure we keep this pressure up on our ownership, because we can go through it. We can go through the financials, the money they've taken, this great club. Sir, like you always say, they've just like taken the horse to the glue factory. It's unbelievable. It's a shell of itself. And look at the security today. Like that has – no one has talked about that. That is the number one point. It's like, how could an organization – let this happen? How could they be that unprepared? And it's because this club is unprepared in the transfer market. It's unprepared when you talk about their online store. Like, I want to give them my money, but there's nothing good there. You know, everything in this club is just run horribly. And it starts at the top. And Ed Woodward is stepping down, but it starts above him. It's the Glazers, dude. It's like they have no relationship with the fans, the fan forum. The must letter that was sent out was amazing. They basically rejected any outreach to the fans. Joel Glazer says he wants to reengage with the fans, doesn't even fly to the fans forum, doesn't even dial into the fans forum. I mean, they're full of it, dude. They're absolutely full of shit. We don't believe a word they say. Just leave. Just sell the club. See you later.
See you later, indeed. I mean, stuff like this is going to force their hand because they're not welcome here. The brand is going to start cratering. I mean, they've been dragging this brand down for a decade plus. It's been the worst over the last 8 years, because if you have a money man who's not even that smart of a money man in the first place, maybe just sucking value out of entities, not contributing value. Dude, look what happens. This is like poor management over close to a decade, and you reap what you sow, and you absolutely do. So they're seeing that the fact that fans were able to take the fortress, take Old Trafford, the theater of dreams, that easily. They just like knocked over some gates, walked in, and they couldn't believe that they were inside. But it does speak to how poorly the stadium is kind of defended, how well the
preparation, just like
foresight.
This club is run in one fashion: take as much money out as possible and put as little possible into security, scouting, transfers, facilities, you know, repairing Old Trafford. And like after a decade, sorry, it's been more than a decade, but it's been really apparent over the last 10 years exactly what's going on. And there's someone's asleep at the wheel. Like, nobody really – the person running this club is worried about signing deals, getting money in, and getting the Glazers rich. That's literally the mandate. Ed Woodward has done it. He should be remembered for failing, like one of the biggest failures in the club's history. And it's time for someone who cares about this football club to own it, who can cherish it. It's like, look, you can make money off a lot of things. Football clubs are a little different. You know, they have quite a bit of history. They have an obligation to the community, sir. And it's like to basically gut it like they've gutted it. It's a crime. Gary Noel talks about developing the area around the stadium. It's true. You go to Old Trafford, there's so much land. They talked about developing it initially. They haven't done anything. The training, the state the stadium is in. I don't mind the stadium. The leaky roof should be fixed. But I like the way it is right now. I mean, we go to games. It's just like have a pie, have a dark ale. It's not really fancy. You know, it's not quite New Yankee Stadium in New York City. But, you know, it does a job.
It does a job because we love the club. So you look past it, right? It's like, you know, your girlfriend's got a lazy eye. You love her. You look past it. It's like the stadium is not great, sir. You go in it. You're sitting in your seat. It's hard to beat that atmosphere. It's top notch. But you go through the corridors, like where you go get a pint.
No,
that don't feel like the number one stadium in England. Like I hate to say, you go in there, you could be at Burnley, you could be at Turf Moor.
Yeah, no, of course it's not. But like, if you also, sir, we went to Wembley, and it's like that's not the nicest. Like the UK, they don't really do their stadiums like in the United States. You know, it's kind of bare bones, a lot of concrete, not a lot of like decorative things. You know, it's just I you know. Changed my mind, you know.
QPR Stadium. Really,
like, you go to New Yankee Stadium. It's like you're eating sushi. You know, it's like you get like all like the, you go through like the Hall of Fame of New Yankee. Old Trafford's got a little bit of that, but it could be improved, sir. It could be improved. The fan experience could be improved. I mean, I don't think Bishop's Blaze can be improved, but you know, that's where I'm going. But you know, I'm sure like for other fans, or like when maybe my son's old enough, he's probably not going to Bishop's Blaze. There might be like a little like turf field or something that you could kick around. I don't know. But it's just the metaphor for this club is it's been too long and jig is up, my man. Jig is up. Everyone knows it. Get out. And we want to talk about how are we going to get them out of this club? Obviously, the protests help. Commercial boycott, huge. Hopefully that materializes online in some fashion, but that's really how we do it. I'm still amazed how many people are buying the new kits. They're not even good looking, number one. And that's the way you hit them. That is the way you hit them. You don't buy the kit. And apparently I saw online Adidas is like pissed because shirt sales are down big. So it might already be hitting them. We don't know the numbers, but it will be interesting to see.
Should we hear how Sky broke the news or should we go right to Gary Neville?
Yeah, let's hear from Sky.
Okay, well, let's bring you some breaking news here now. These are pictures of Old Trafford where fans have now spilled out onto the pitch. That's what you're seeing there on your screens. Manchester United fans angered by the European Super League plans, calling for the Glazer family to be removed as owners, calling for them to go, momentum building up against them. That's what you're seeing there. Manchester United fans are now on the pitch at Old Trafford. They were protesting earlier outside the team's hotel, which is also highly unusual, protesting outside the Lowry. Now they have stepped out onto the pitch. You can see there's the coloured flares there as well, chanting and clapping. They're calling for the Glazer family to go. That's because of the increased anger after the European Super League. Short-lived, of course, just over around 50 hours or 56 hours it lasted. But nevertheless, that anger did spill out. We did see fans protesting then, enough protest then for the European Super League to be scrapped. Now that protest has spilled out onto the pitch at Old Trafford ahead of a big match there. At 4:30, the kickoff between Man United and Liverpool, an important Premier League match, of course, notably for Manchester City, who are hoping to win the Premier League if Manchester United lose. But looks like there is a lot to be done before that match can take place. As look, you can see younger people, older fans, everyone who's been angered by that move.
So United fans in full voice, you know, looked pretty peaceful. they're all just kind of like, you know, running around. Some players were taking the balls, kicking the balls. I think someone was on top of one of the nets, fell off. They're frustrated. They're frustrated. It's probably too easy to get in, but they're just frustrated because they've seen this happen for a long time. They've watched the stadium decay. They've watched the team be poorly run, mismanaged, you know, legendary players be like thrown out on their ass like they're nothing. And it's just all pent up. And then like they finally went for this like so cruel, so callous, you couldn't even believe it, cash grab, destroy the game, solidify monopoly of the game that, you know, this the fans have exploded. I don't think this is calming down anytime soon.
You'd love to hear that Arlo White and Rebecca Lowe are comparing the hooligans of the 1980s, which is kind of a little, that's probably a little much.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, and NBC aired the protest split screen with the Newcastle Arsenal match. What a riot! So NBC kind of fumbling as per the usual. Just had to get that in there. Sir, what did Gary Neville make of all this?
Let's hear it.
The reaction is that I think it's a warning. I think to the owners of the football club that ultimately they're not going to accept what they've done in the last couple of weeks. I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is obviously we don't quite know to the extent what's happened outside of the ground. We know obviously some fans came in and they were reasonably peaceful, but you know if there has been disturbance outside, then that's not, I think, something that's acceptable. But the reality of it is a game's been called off today and the fans have spoken. The fans spoke a couple of weeks ago about this proposal and obviously there was a U-turn by many, many, well, the six owners in this country particularly. And it's not going to go away because I don't think they trust the owners of this club. They don't like them and they think they should leave. I think beyond today, I think the reality of it is it should be about reform and regulation and making sure that obviously they can't do it again. That really needs to be, because obviously protesting is the right of every single person in this country to do that. You know, we must retain that, you know, that element of being able to protest. However, I think beyond today now, I think it's a case of making sure that the fans across the country unite to ensure that there is reform in English football. That is the most important thing. If anything today has got to be a precursor to that, or else it will be a waste of time today if there isn't reform in English football.
Jamie, I'm sure you'd concur as well that...
You don't need to hear from Jamie. But there you go, sir. If at least reform, that's probably where we all want to end up. Will it happen? I don't know. I'm not that confident. Money is on the other side of the table, and that usually is the side that wins, but we'll see. I mean, you know, Gary hasn't wavered. Yeah, Carragher, when they asked him, he hasn't wavered. They all agree. It's like these owners got to go. I don't think they're quite as mad as their owners as we are at ours, right? They've won stuff more recently. They've actually seemed to have a front office that's not run by just purely money men. But Manchester United fans are not, you know, they're not changing their opinions about these owners ever. You know, for this is just cementing their legacy once and for all.
No, absolutely. I echo everything Gary Neville said. Like, we don't know everything, right? So it's going to come out. So, like, you know, take everything we're saying with a grain of salt. Like, it appeared to be peaceful inside the stadium. But, you know, ultimately, we don't know at this time. But, like, Gary's right. It's just like, why own this club if you're only going to suck money out of it? Like, what's the point? There's no point. It's just like... Sure, it's like what analogy, like owning the Cincinnati Bengals and not caring if they win or lose. You know, Bengals have been terrible, right? But like the Glazers don't go to the games. They never go. They don't even go to the stadium, sir. So why even own the team? You understand? Like, it's like I hate to say it, but look at look at Leeds scum. They're owners every game. Every game. Fan of the team. Wants to watch every single game. Like, if at a minimum, if you don't care and you don't even want to watch it, I mean, I get if you're busy, yeah, business. But like, come on, man, you don't go to one game all year. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely crazy.
They did it because they can, and because it was a freaking cash cow, right? When they bought United, it was like the greatest footballing institution in England, arguably the greatest, one of the greatest clubs in the world. And they thought that the money train would just keep rolling in. They didn't have to invest. You'd have like another genius manager that could cobble together, you know, bargain buys and, you know, like players that are you just buying on like on the free, like a la what's on Owen, buying a fucking 31-year-old Michael Owen instead of replacing him with a young stud to replace Ronaldo. Dude, and then all of a sudden they realize, like, you can't just have an idiot running in the club for the last 8 years and expect to be in Champions League, win trophies. So dude, they don't care. They just saw it as like a great way to make a ton of money. They have. You can't take that away from it. They've taken so much money out, and they'll take out even more when they sell this club inevitably and make another $500 million apiece. But they just, you know, they saw a great opportunity to just like suck value out of an institution that means so much to so many people, and they couldn't give two fucks about it. And it's unfortunate. But you know what? It's been allowed to happen throughout England. A lot of clubs have gone even worse, have been like completely put sideways and gone below the Premier League by owners that have been negligent in its running. So Manchester United, it's on the up. I mean, I think Ole has kind of put the right amount of balance from a manager right now where we need to be given the owners. It's like he's done the best with what he's been given. He's kind of steadied the ship. He's kept a lot of the personalities that he's been given and kept them happy, right? Just even the turnaround for where Paul Pogba is today versus a couple years ago. I know his agent's still running his mouth, but he's playing good football. He looks like he's engaged. He's tracking back. So I think we have to be lucky for where we're at and just appreciate that all the fans are on the same page now. There's no one who's like, yeah, the Glazers, they've done decent things other than like Gary Lineker, who's buddies with Ed Woodward. So all the fans are united that it's time to get these owners out once and for all.
And sir, you know what's funny about this whole thing is like we've been going through the financials. We've been telling everyone since we started this podcast, the Glazers were just blood sucking vampires that were killing this club slowly over time. And nobody cared. No one was worried about the Glazer ownership. And it's like, we talked about it before the Super League, before this. We said, this summer, everyone's going to see what the Glazers are. We said, this summer is when the Glazers protest will reignite. Because the balance sheet of the club is totally screwed. We have £80 million in cash. And we have £77 million in debt obligations due in a year, less than a year. And then we have £160 million in purchase obligations, which are basically players' fees that we deferred. So we have over £237 million of debt that needs to be paid ASAP. And we only have £80 million in cash. Clearly, they have a revolver. They can pull more down from that. But the club is broke. That's why they went for the Super League, sir. They need the revenue from the fans. They're dying. We're going to get the Champions League money. That's going to be big. That's going to help them with this. There's not a lot of money on the sidelines to do deals. And the biggest thing that we saw was Avram Glazer selling his shares. Sold almost $100 million of stock, and that went into his pocket. That $100 million needs to go to the team. It needs to go to help pay for stadium repairs. It needs to go help modernize training facilities. It needs to go help us get a center back to replace Philly Jones. But this has always been happening. It's just printed at SEC.gov where no fans are looking. I don't blame them. But the journalists have to be covering this a little better, you know? Like, people need to be on the ownership from all angles. The financial cost of it. Athletic has done a good job. You know, I've recently seen their articles. They've been saying it, like, because you can say, okay, you can look at the titles, you can look at whatever. That's total just nonsense. You look at the money, you look at how they run this club. They are taking money out. They loaded it with debt. They basically don't have money. That's why they went for the Super League cash grab. They were absolutely desperate, and it blew up in their face. And this summer, get ready for a terrible summer for Manchester United when fans are fired up. And this is when we can get them out, right? Because I think next season, every fan's going to be wearing green and gold. Every fan's going to be singing those songs in unison when we're back in the stadium. And I think they'll sell, because if we start hitting them where it counts on the commercial side of things, they're going to have no choice, because they're going to be selling on the downside.
They already are.
Get?
Dude, they already are. I mean, it's like TeamViewer, my man. TeamViewer. I never heard of TeamViewer. Still haven't. Still haven't heard of TeamViewer. And they're acting, you know, like that article in the Irish Times that was clearly leaked because they're like trying to pump up the price. Is like they think they are selling the asset they bought. And it's like, no, you have been mismanaged this club really particularly for the last 8 years. Like the fact that you thought you could have Ed Woodward run this club and that like things would turn out well, and that they didn't make a change of heart after the first transfer window went like terribly. That first transfer window in 13 was a fucking disaster. And they didn't, they were like, oh, we're still doing everything right because the money's coming in. And that's all that matters. So, sir, the message has been loud and clear. We're beating a dead horse, but today was just kind of like United fans are fed up. This was, you know, globally football, everyone reacted when the Super League was announced 2 weeks ago, including United fans. But today was United fans being like, we are done with you. We are done with you. If you let us in, we'll have our voices heard. They let them in. They let them in.
Dude, it's absolutely crazy, sir. I mean, you know, anything else we should have to say on the pod? On the protest.
I mean,
the pod test.
I mean, we're at 35 minutes of the counting, sir. We almost want to preview the game, get the news, but I think everything that's been said that needs to be said has been said. Personally, unless you want to, you know, I can pull up Roy Keane too.
Yeah, let's hear what Keane has to say.
With the fans who are protesting, have been inside today.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's come to a tipping point now for the United fans. I think again. It was peaceful. I think they threw one or two bottles and a couple of flares. I think that was towards Jamie, to be fair. But no, I think they've had enough. I think enough's enough for these United fans. No, I think United fans have got some of the best fans in the world. Huge club. We've seen today that they've just come to the end now. They're thinking enough's enough with the ownership of the club, with all the stuff over the last few weeks, the frustrations with the Super League, I suppose even the not being able to support the team over last year. Enough's enough now, and the United fans...
There you go. That was it from Roy Keane, sir. When he speaks, we listen. He was spot on. They're all up and aware. You know, they weren't talking about it like we have. They weren't talking about it 6 months ago, right? Why the club isn't making investments in the team? Why was our transfer window so, you know, it was probably not what a lot of fans asked for, especially when you saw what City and Chelsea were doing to reinforce their managers' ambitions. We weren't, you know, the signs we made were probably just ones that kind of were thrown on our lap that we could make, willing to have those deferred transfer fees payable, right? I'm sure they didn't want the cash up front when we bought a Donny van de Beek or an Ahmad Diallo. Obviously, we bought Cavani on the free. Gallo. I mean, there's just a track record of these signings, sir. And it's like, you know, this summer is going to be bad anyway. Now it's definitely going to be worse.
Yeah, but you can't kick the can, you know, and when you have that much debt, it's like people have to understand in the business terms and how this business. So you want to say, okay, it's just business. Well, how are they running the business? It's absolute shambles. It's absolute shambles. It's like the airlines who basically like bought back all their shares, had no cash on hand, the pandemic hit, and then they need a bailout. That's how the Glazers are running this club. They've run it into the ground. They haven't saved any money for any day. They haven't invested in anything. They've only put it in their pockets, and they got greedy. Glazers out. We could talk all day. You know, the horse is dead. It's deader than dead. We'll keep you posted on everything. I'm sure there's going to be breaking news. But, sir, I want to get back to the football. We got a next match. Hans and Franz spinning that track. Let's hear it.
Here we go, baby. You ready for this? You ready for this deep beat? Let's go. Oh, wait. Sorry, sir. They're giving me an ad. Give me 1 second. Hans and Franz. Here we go. Football is back, baby. This game's not being postponed because it's being played in Rome. And I don't know how many fans are going to make the trip down to Italy, sir.
I don't know if they can. I don't know anything about quarantine in Europe right now or what's going on there. But yeah, there's going to be no fans in the stadium. Probably no protest there. That is Roma versus Manchester United, Stadio Olimpico in Rome, sir. You probably heard of that city. Europa League semifinals, leg two. Why are we even playing, sir? We smoked them in the first game. We got that big league. That's right. Thursday, May 6th, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Lifetime versus Roma, 5-1-1, sir. We just beat him 6-2. Coming in with a 4-goal cushion. Beat him 7-1 before, sir. You know, it's just one of those things where it's just like, this is cruise control, right? I'm not worried.
No, I'm not worried either. 4-goal cushion in football. We've got a pretty solid defense. You know, other than that RB game, we only lost by one. Shouldn't have lost by any. But either way, like you said, the job is effectively done. you know, it would have been a little different if we played today, because you would assume that, like, he was going to go all out to beat the Scouse Bastards. And then the players that have been playing so much, i.e. Marcus Rashford, Bruno Fernandes, Harry Maguire, AWB, would get a blow. So now it looks like they all got a blow, because this game is probably not getting played tomorrow. The Liverpool game, that is. I don't see it getting just pushed today.
No.
So who knows what's going to happen. There's going to be fresh legs regardless. But, you know, this would be a great opportunity for Ole to play some of the boys that need some minutes, like Donny van de Beek and Ahmad. Maybe Dan James gets thrown back into it. Bailly probably needs a go. Brandon Williams. You know, all the players have been waiting for to see. Hold on. Here we go. This beat, sir. Ooh, sir, I'll tell you what, that is growing on me. I am liking that Europa League beat.
Sir, that part of that song, you know, that gets me. When I listen to the pod, I like that beat. I'm just like, let's go.
Let's go. We are ready. We are ready for Roma, dude. Let's swat him aside strongly. Let's not even make it any kind of nervy thing where we leak a couple and make it a game. And then just focus on the weekend. Focus on the Premier League matchup we have the following weekend, which I think is Aston Villa on Sunday. The villains. And then it's all about the final, sir, in Gdansk. I think I finally know where it is.
Yes, I think we sorted that one out in the break, sir. You know, as far as Rome is concerned, they play Sampdoria today at 11:45 a.m. Pacific, so it hasn't kicked off yet. No protest there, so I'm sure they'll play that match. Either way, you know, Roma, not much to say. We kind of went through the history on the last podcast. You know, they were founded in 1927. They share the stadium with Lazio. That was one I didn't realize. Little note, when we beat Roma 7-1, the Lazio fan club sent Manchester United a letter thanking them for beating Roma. I thought that was cheeky. Obviously, Smaldini gave away the penalty. Mkhitaryan did cut us open. But again, it should be a safe match. I don't want to just completely play the kids. I think Ole, we know Ole's conservative. I think you might see like an Ahmad in there, but it's going to be, you're going to get Fred McTominay. You're going to get Maguire Lindelof. You're going to get Shaw. You're going to get Wan-Bissaka. You're going to get Bruno. You're going to get Pogba. You're probably going to get Cavani because he signed the new deal. Let's go.
About to sign that deal. Oh, that's what everybody wants to hear. Maybe we'll see all those players. I think.
Oh, my God. Because I looked at your lineup. You couldn't be more wrong, sir.
Sir, we'll see.
What kind of lineup is this?
Okay. We'll get that lineup, sir.
This is like the worst lineup I've ever seen.
Okay, bro. This lineup wins. This lineup wins.
Sir, quick injury update. Phil Jones, center back, out. Martial, out. We're healthy, United, sir. I'm just kidding about your lineup. Just trying to.
Doesn't like the lineup, sir.
Trying to get you fired up in the podcast bunker. Lots working. Of love for America Red Devils. Come on.
It's working. Can't wait for this game, you know, because I hate to say it, I was so excited for the match today.
Sir, what would you bet me this lineup happens?
I bet you a dollar.
Ready,
bro,
for this lineup? let's hear this lineup.
You want to get ready for this? Okay, we're going to De Gea, Brandon Williams, Eric Bailly, Harry Maguire, Alex Telles, midfield, Matic, Donny van de Beek, Bruno, James, Greenwood, Ahmad. That could, it's not going to happen, but I bet you, it's not that bad.
Where's Lee Grant?
Lee Grant, bro. Lee Grant is like,
Lee Grant, bro.
Lee Grant might as well be on that injury list. He's like the fifth goalkeeper.
Ole's the type of guy.
He's not putting Lee Grant in there, bro. If anyone could leak six gold, it's Lee Grant.
I'm just saying, you put everyone from the bench in, where's Lee Grant? That's all I'm trying to say. It's a joke, sir. Come on. You know, it's one of the, always the type of guy to play conservative and then sub. You know, he's going to sub the kids. He's like, Williams is not going to start. He's going to get the sub, you know. And I would like Williams to start here, but Ole, you know, he's conservative. I'm going to go De Gea, net, Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, McTominay, Fred midfield. You get Bruno, you get Pogba, you get Cavani. A shout out to Ahmad. That's like the one that you can start, the attacker. You could even go Greenwood, Ahmad, but get Cavani some reps. He's going to sign the new deal. You want him to have a nice walkout, have him get some goals. And then you sub in the kids. You sub in a Williams, sub in a Donny, sub in a James, sir. I'll teach you. Teach a thing or two.
There you go. This guy, aficionado, number one fantasy player. I think I'm just catching up on you, sir. I'm tightening that gap. It's not a runaway either way. I think you're probably right. I think you get five subs in the Europa League anyway. You can make a whole swath at halftime, right? You can do like five subs if you wanted. Bring
I think
on.
Five is done. I thought because Roma didn't have subs. I'll have to look into that one. We don't know the updated rules for Europa League and subs. It's hard to keep track. Booking the bookies, Roma +280 to win, the draw +280, Manchester United to win -115. Looks like the bookies are padding the lineup like you. So they're like you would think we were bigger favorites to win there. Given those are the odds, sir, what is your score prediction for Roma? We got the 4-goal aggregate lead. What
sir,
do you think?
I think 2-1. Roma get one. Maybe it's Mickey. A little tighter on defense. United don't quite go for it the same way we did. But do the job. Roll on aggregate. Let's go, Gdansk. Get that Europa League tune blasting all summer. Sound of the summer. What you got?
I'm doing 4-1, sir. I think we're going to pour it on. I just don't think Roma's going to have the guts to come out and fight. I think they're going to lay down and die. Who do they got? Dzeko? Who do they got?
That's it.
A receding hairline on Mkhitaryan and Smaldini, my man.
Smalling did not have a great game. So I rewatched that second half. He was involved in basically almost every goal they conceded.
Sir, let's jump into the news. United in the news. We're talking Cavani, close to agreeing a new deal. 1 year Manchester United extension per BBC Simon Stone. Stone knows a thing or two, sir. You know, he doesn't say bad things about Ed Woodward. He doesn't say bad things about the Glazers. He's got good sources, Simon Stone.
No, this is basically locked in. This is basically tier one. You know, it's before it happens. So that's a great sign. You know, it's one less position we need to sign this summer. We know it's going to be a tough summer, mainly because of our finances, mainly because of our owners, but not having to worry about Cavani going. If we can keep him fit, he's a great option as your number one, number nine. He is a hell of a player. He's shown that. He's a finisher. His movement is top notch. And he's got a thing or two to teach to the boys, right? I think Greenwood's getting better, already showing some of that. That diving header that he had against Burnley, that was a Cavani finish. So I think it's already rubbing off. This is a great move because we're not getting Haaland. We ain't getting no Harry Kane. Then we need to keep Cavani.
No, exactly. You look at this core group of players playing well together, right? You know, I think like the issue with crazy summers is our concerns were on the outs. If Cavani leaves and Pogba leaves, trying to get replacements takes so much time. You'd like to get a Declan Rice in and then have him play with Pogba, then have Pogba leave. You know, you need to get – it takes time for players to gel. Anytime I've ever seen a big transfer window, a la the LVG – a la the bail money that Tottenham did, it fails, dude. It fails miserably. 75% of the signings go through. It's just you can't bring in total new blood into a team and have it work together. They need time to gel. And this team has gelled and is playing well. So I think the best thing that Manchester United can do is stop the bleeding. Don't let Pogba leave. Don't let Cavani leave. You know, I don't know where Bailly kind of gets into the mix there, but, you know, we did re-sign him, I guess. But you know what I'm saying? Keep the core group together and then try to add – 30 million pound center back if the Glazers can afford it. Try to maybe add a young right winger if we can afford it, you know, or maybe a loan deal, wage deal, you know, get scrappy, but keep the core group. Try to add some options, maybe put some players on loan, like Williams is a good player to put on loan. That those moves are more important than the big money signing. Like that'd be that cherry on top, but the core, sort of the filling of the pie. Keeping this team together that's doing well and could kick on to compete for a title with the right pieces.
And he's one of those pieces because on his day, he's a world-class starting number nine. You know, he's shown that this season, his finishing, his movement, his link-up play. He is a hell of a player. Everything I said about him on that day one when it all broke, sir, shame on me. I got it wrong, but he is no Falcao. He is no Di Maria. He is a player, and he also gets along very well with Bruno Fernandes. He has a relationship with Greenwood, with Shaw. You can tell it's budding. And like you said, this summer is going to be about stopping the bleeding. And the biggest sources of bleeding is like you lose a Pogba and a Cavani this summer. That's going to say a lot to our star man, Bruno Fernandes, and whether or not he wants to stay here long term. Same way it kind of shook Wayne Rooney at his core. He was right, bro. He was right what he was doing in 2010. And I hate to say it, but he was fucking right. He was right. This club was not serious about investing. And they never, you know, they weren't. And then they just continued to slide after Fergie left. So,
and Fergie got out too. He knew it.
Dude, he knew it. He's not an idiot. He's like, they barely wanted to sign RVP. They made him like make a stink about it, apparently, to sign RVP in the first place. Oh, paid £27 million on an aging striker. Yeah, if he's elite, it's worth it, sir. So we can't let that happen now, right? Like, you have these two players, you have him, Cavani, Pogba, Bruno, all really developing an amazing relationship up front. You saw it against Roma. Stop the bleeding, as you said. Next news. So what you got?
Pogba to Real Madrid still possible as Raiola speculates on Hazard swap deal with Manchester United. Man, Jabba the Hutt is getting desperate here. Haaland might not go. Dortmund said they don't want to sell him. Doesn't look like, you know, Manchester United apparently won £80 million for Paul Pogba. What did I tell you? Eddie's like, he can't do it. This guy can't do a deal. Right. Jesse Lingard, this is another example. Jesse Lingard is going to come back because he's not going to be able to do a deal. You know, he's just going to quote an insane price. No one's going to pay it. He won't back down. It'll come down to the last day and then he won't go. Same with Paul Pogba. So letting players go down to running their contracts down is not the best move if you're like good at being a director of football. Right. Because Paul Pogba is probably worth value in a swap. He's worth value just generally to United. I, as a fan, because I don't care about making money, Pogba probably should have been sold last summer, probably was going to be sold to Madrid for a big fee, and COVID killed that. Obviously, we know the financial troubles Madrid have. There is some swap value here. No deal is going to happen because Woodward's going to be so stubborn that someone's going to have to offer an insane amount of money for Pogba. And I just don't think teams think he's worth it right now. I think if you – similar to Haaland, it's like, is he worth £130 million when you can pay 65 with the release clause next summer? No. Is Pogba worth £80 million when you can pay zero next summer? No. So that type of element in negotiation, it's like – that's why Raiola's come up with these swap deals, because the only way anything's going to get done. And who wants Fat Hazard?
Not us.
I don't want Fat Hazard. No. I don't want Hazard anywhere near Old Trafford, dude. You want to talk about a bust? You want to talk about Sanchez 2.0? Look at what he's done for Real Madrid. He doesn't care about the game. He has no desire to win. He's just, dude, he's lazy. He's Fat Hazard now. It's like he's pretty much done. Let him retire. Him and Wesley Snyder can go eat a few chocolate babkas, bro.
Sir, I know about that. Hazard's a bust, bro. You'd love to see it. I mean, Chelsea's scum, right? He's like a Chelsea legend for whatever that's worth. He was attached to United actually when they initially signed him, and there was a famous video of him talking shit about Manchester as a city. So that's never happening, and nobody wants Hazard, bro, because it's like, I'd rather take Dembele, I'd rather take a million other players, I'd rather take Dybala, but like Hazard is toast. He looks like he's got nothing left. He played in that he played against Liverpool and he looked like out of shape, bro. He still looks out of shape. So it's unbelievable, but you can tell Raiola's sweating. Because the most likely outcome, you know, is that Pogba leaves on a free at the end of next year, which, you know, you think he's still got a big fat payday when he signs up for Real Madrid or Juventus on a nice contract and there's going to be some kind of signing bonus. But I think United's best play is that they can try and sell the Manchester United dream back to Pogba and offer him silly wages, which, you know, at the end of the day, probably not the worst outcome because He's starting to look like he really wants to play for this manager. I mean, we're seeing a higher work rate than we ever saw under Mourinho with Pogba. It's some of the best football he's playing. So, you know, everything I've said, you still have to deal with a goddamn agent who cannot help but run his mouth. But I would be open to him signing a bumper deal and us locking down Paul Pogba.
I mean, with this ownership, yeah, there's no other option.
Right.
You know, if we had faith in a director of football, I say bring Declan Rice in, you know, because still it's like, where's the best position for Paul Pogba? You know, obviously playing on the left, but, you know, traditionally you want the winger to be a little pacey. It's like you really want Pogba to play in a two with Bruno and then have like a solid CDM behind him. It's just one of those things where Ole's been able to get the best out of him and deal with this agent. So, you know, you all know how we think about Mino Raiola. He's going to run his mouth. Don't mean nothing. I honestly think we'll see Pogba next season, which is great as a fan. Unfortunately, he's going to hold all the cards. And I have to think he's thinking Champions League titles, short of us doing both next year or one or the other. That's not going to be enough. He needs silverware. So we have to be winning. If we win the league next year and then he can go somewhere else on a free, like, he might stay, you know. But short of that, you got to be convincing Pogba with titles, like big titles, and United at the moment. Speaking of other players, Ronaldo, that's still gaining steam. Mendes and United still friendly, sir. I'm very excited about this one.
Well, I don't know. In the bid to keep Paul Pogba, I think a push for 21 next year, right? Win the Europa League. I'm not saying we're going to win Champions League, but have a run there. Can you make it to a quarter? Can you make it to a semi? That's an achievement based on where we've been in the last couple of years. Maybe that kind of just like rebuilds his faith in the project. So I think this year is all about putting pieces together smartly and pragmatically that are going to add to our ability to challenge next season. So last year, you look at the signings we made, they were like, two of them were future signings. One was a backup, and one was a slot-in, ready-to-go starter. Cavani, right? Donny's like arguably a replacement for Pogba.
Forget about Facundo. How dare you?
Facundo's on loan, mate. How's he doing? I don't even know. Poor guy. Ahmad can't even get into this team because he wasn't ready to go, dude. Not everyone is Mason Greenwood, and even Mason Greenwood needed, like, you know, 6 months to kind of get his form back together because he's a young lad. The only player that was like a lock-in starter was Eddie Cavani, and his injury record is still an aspect, right? We have missed some games this season from you know, he's 34. It's hard to play football games week in, week out. So what do we need? We need a right winger. We probably need another striker. That's probably not going to happen now with Cavani re-signing, Martial coming back from injury, hopefully by the end of the summer. You need a right winger. You need a center back, dude. That's the priority. I mean, you like to get a CDM. I agree. You like probably like to get on a striker, but if you can get those two positions, like legit upgrades, one on Lindelof and one that takes the burden off Greenwood, you're saying there's a chance. There's no reason we can't go for 21.
Sir, 21 and 22. Let's go. fan questions. Thank you for everyone who tweeted us the comments, questions, and banter. Sir, it's spicy today, obviously. We're going to start with this one at Reds Pilot. Quote, protesting against the Glazers all day, no long. Protesting against the Glazers all day long, no problem. Breaking an Old Trafford, destroying property while throwing bottles at horses and police, then arrest a lot of them. Lifetime bans for the little pencil pricks and the bell end who think that is okay. Again, we haven't seen a lot of the footage. I'm not going to condone any of that. So I would have to agree. You know, any violence, you know, no tolerance for that. Going to the stadium is probably a little crossing the line for me. I get if it was peaceful, that's okay. But again, if there was any violence along the way, property destruction, no bueno. That's not good.
No, yeah, we're on the same page. I think like you could still make your voices heard by not letting the fans get out of not the fans, the team get out of the Lowry, right? Like you delay the game so much that they're not going to be able to play it. I think you make your point. Breaking in and then it starts to put an ugly face on United fans as a whole. When obviously it's not, you know, not everybody went in. Most looked peaceful. I'm sure they're dude, but we don't know the whole story, right? More stuff's going to come out.
Neil Ashton spin zone, I'm sure.
They'll make us look as bad as possible.
At Dave Paz, I think the guys who got on the pitch should have played the Scouse Bastards. Sorry, I saw there was a video of a fan doing a bicycle kick, and then somebody cut the Rooney bicycle kick video, so like Nani passing the ball, then the fan doing it, and then the celebration. I thought that was a riot. Social media, undefeated. Internet, love it. Quote, will what happened today actually achieve something? I have to think the heat's turning up on the Glazers. I mean, I have to think they're calling each other being like, uh-oh, the plebeians are pissed. You know, I have to imagine there's conversations going on right now with them, the board. This is bad for business. So to shot over the bow from the fans, I think you're going to see a lot of spin in the press trying to make the fans look bad. Again, jury's out on what actually happened. But again, I think on their way out, I think this will probably help them nudge the Glazers. I think boycotting them commercially and then singing the Glazers out songs in the stadium with the green and gold will also help. I don't think we'll see him in Manchester anytime soon.
No. And I think this will accelerate the sale. I also think they're going to have cops at the stadium next time there's a game probably. And it's going to, you know, they're going to be prepared, I would imagine, for this. So breaking into stadium, you know, we don't want to see that, but letting the, you know, the owners know they're not welcome in this club. I think that's been heard. You know, they're talking about it, the American media who don't even cover football. They're going to hear it, and they're going to hear it loud and clear.
At United Dondo, hopefully this helps get the message to the Glazers. Proud of how many fans showed up and the amazing chance. We want the Glazers out. We want the Glazers out. Inject that into my veins. Cannot believe the game got postponed. Time to look ahead to Roma. Yeah, I can't believe it got postponed. That seems like, I don't know. That seems like a little much. Like last time I saw before we came here, everything, it's like party was over. Fans are gone. You know, I think it was a pretty conservative move not to play the game. And I also think, you know, I don't know.
No, I agree, especially because the fixtures are so, they're so crammed already. Like, we still have Europe to worry about. There are midweek Premier League games within the next couple weeks, right? Like, that Leicester game's coming up around the corner. I don't know when you play it, you know, really. There's like, because we obviously, the season has to end all at the same time. Everybody plays the 38th game of the season at the exact same time. So there's no, you know, gamemanship. So I don't know when you do it. I tend to agree, unless it's tomorrow, you know, but even then that would technically be a disadvantage for United heading into Roma, but we have a big cushion. I thought it'd be played like right now. I thought it'd be like a noon game.
Sir, it's crazy. At JM McLiver, in favor of the protest, bummed we don't have a game to watch, but I'll probably get rescheduled. I saw online about punishment for the club. Do you think the club should face any type of punishment for the fans expressing their voice? Hashtag Glazers out. I mean, the club should be punished for lack of preparation and security, not the fans. I mean, this was a fumble on Ed Woodward's watch.
You have to say, I mean, like they were there last week. They were going to be there again. They made it clear on social media. They're just not paying attention. You know, I don't really care. And they don't have their shit together, right? They're completely disorganized. Remember the pipe bomb incident in the first place? That wouldn't happen at a well-run club. That, like, you know, they're doing a security drill and they just like left a pipe bomb. Didn't the game get canceled or was it postponed? But it's just like, it's just the same kind of ineptitude.
It was postponed. Yeah. Pipe bomb. They still played the game with a pipe bomb. Well, it's fake pipe bomb, but you know what I mean. At IC1, I think we'll end on this one. What we saw today, ... I hope it brings the change we need. Hashtag Glazers out. I really think that's the message, you know, as fans, like trying to view the protest as a polarizing event. Like, are you for it? Are you against it? Do you condone that behavior or not? No, it's just more of like, hey, this ownership has been unfair to the fans. The fans are frustrated. Clearly they got, you know, I had too many dark ales, sir. Shit's going to happen. You know, it's popping off. And, you know, that unrest from the fans' perspective, it's been simmering way too long. It's been 10 years. It's like kind of shit or get off the pot for the Glazers. Like, either you're going to run this team right, you're going to fix the stadium, you're going to do what's required to maintain this football club, this great, cherished football club, probably number one in the world, sir. Not probably, is number one in the world. And they're asleep at the wheel. And it's like, it's time has come. I mean, think worldwide, the frustration from the fans. I mean, this is a few people on the ground in Manchester, but this club means so much to so many people in all the countries we've traveled to, watch Manchester United with, and they're just robbing us blind. Enough is enough. The Glazers got to go. You made a fortune off the club. Just sell it. Be done with it. We're good.
We're done with them, and you've made it clear that you have no interest in doing what's right. Like, they're going through the motions, right? They're not investing in the team at all. They're not investing in the stadium. Not engaging with fans.
I read Paul Glazer's letter. I don't read it on the pod. We don't read Ed Woodward's letter. We know it's a lie. It's empirically false. They just do not care. We want to rebuild trust with the fans. Doesn't go to the fan forum. Like, literally a week later. Like, The
week later, one week later
with the fans, is like, go to the, like, be in person, talk to the fans. It's like, no, it's like, what do your words mean? Nothing. It's just PR, it's just press, saving face. They don't care. Their intentions speak through their actions. Nothing else, sir. Fool me once. Come on, Eddie. I've been on Eddie's tail all day, all year, all decade. I know Ed Woodward. Come on.
Dude, we can't rest this summer. The heat is on. All United fans, let's not focus on breaking into the stadium. Let's focus on what they were all trying to say, right? Let's focus on the fact that, like, this has gone on too much. Enough is enough. You've, like you said, you made so much money already. They made obscene amounts of money. Just fucking cash out and get out, you know? Get out. because they're embarrassing
everything
us.
We want. It should be about the football.
Right.
And the football is great. United are playing great. We have a great coach. Ole stepping up, learning on the job. There's great things happening at Manchester United. They're the ones that came up with the Super League. They're the ones that are stealing money out of the club. It's like they're the ones making it not about football. And it's like, come on, man. We want to make it about football again, not this. Dude, it's like it's kind of one of these things where, like, I have to admit, I'm kind of bummed the game got canceled. You know, I'm just pissed, like, because the Super League 1 week and obviously this, and it's just like part of me just wants to get back to, like, football, you know, a little bit. It's always Glazers out 24/7, but I just want to get back because, you know, I really enjoy when United play good football. It's been a while seeing Cavani score bangers. So it makes me happy.
Dude, the team is gelling. We're building a personality. It's like you can see a core group there that we haven't seen at the club for a long time. I mean, since we won a title, really. It's like you can tell they're building on each other. They're getting more confident. They're growing in resiliency. And like you said, it's been too much other stuff. Even like last year and a half with COVID and football shutting down, it's just like I want to just go back to football. I know everybody's in the same boat, and I know it's a pandemic, and that's one thing. You have to deal with it. But I think, like, this is kind of – there's just frustration just boiling up. And I think that's why fans broke in. They probably want to be an OT, man. They miss it. You know, I know the Glazers don't miss it. They ain't in any rush to see it.
Remember, it's like we were going to go to a game. We missed it because of the birth of my son. Then we were going to go to another game. We're Tottenham away. And then we missed it because of the COVID outbreak. So we haven't gone for years. And it's like we went twice a year, sir. Like, we would go twice a year. That was like – I think everyone's just like – frustrations are pent up, but look, on to the next one. Big game for Roma, sir. I can't wait. And obviously, green and gold all day, dude. I've worn green and gold every single time I've walked to Old Trafford. I've worn green and gold. I will always be Glazers out. Them leaving the club, sir, I mean, that's going to be up there with like one of those big time moments. Like, that will be one of, like, that will be a, like a lifetime achievement award, sir, for this podcast. Like, what are we going to do? I mean, we're going to celebrate. I mean, like, That's going to be one of those things when the Glazers sell the club. It's like, as sad as I was when Ronaldo was sold to Real Madrid, I will be that happy when the Glazers sell Manchester United. And I was very sad when I got the news that Ronaldo was leaving us.
I know you were. It's going to be a big moment, and we all look forward to it. I hope it's in 2021. I don't think it will be. I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off that quickly, but it will be wonderful. It'd be wonderful to get them out sooner rather than later, sir.
Two, three years. That's the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are four fans by fans. Give me that biased fan take from the couch. You want to support us? We're completely fan backed. No private sponsorships. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. We have blog content. We have great merchandise. #GlazersOut on sale, $9.99. Also support us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Sir, you can write a review on iTunes as well. Get us our top downloads last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? Bethnal Green, United Kingdom. What's going on? Dublin, Ireland. Appreciate you. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Wigan, United Kingdom. Minneapolis,
baby.
Sorry, I need football. I'm talking about Minneapolis. There you go. It's too many. Long day. Wigan, United Kingdom. Tallahassee, Florida. Melbourne, Australia. Sydney, Australia. Coventry, UK, Chicago, Illinois, and New York, I can pronounce that. Oslo, Norway, number 11. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We wish we were breaking down a Scouser thumping, and instead, more nonsense. But either way, the message has been heard loud and clear. It's Glazers out until the club is sold. Green and gold, wave it proud, wave it loud, sir. Let's get them out.
Pod never sleeps, sir. We'll be here through it all. Can't wait to re-break down. We just got another bonus podcast, Scouts Bastards. Let's go, as always.
Kicking a blue.